Welcome to the author commentary for Star Wars From a Certain Point of View, The Empire Strikes Back. Here we go behind the scenes with contributors to discuss the creative process behind their stories. A word of caution, these conversations may contain story spoilers. I'm Tom Holler, a member of the Delray Star Wars editorial team, and right now we're talking to Michael Kogi, author of a story called Tooth and Claw. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
This is going to be a really fun conversation because you not only chose one of the more, first of all, popular and interesting characters, but also your story, I think, takes us to a place that anyone who starts reading like the first page or half page of it, their expectation of where the story is going to go and where we end up, there's no way anybody sees what's coming. So I'm so excited about it. The first thing I just want to start with is, you know, why Bossk? You chose Bossk, the Trandoshan bounty hunter. What's the appeal of Bossk to you? I know that in talking to you and in developing the story, you have sort of an affinity and a history with that character, but why, of all the bounty hunters that are in this movie that obviously are very popular, why did you choose Bossk?
He was always my favorite, especially as a kid. I loved that he was the lizard man of the group, and he definitely stood out to me as the most alien, although Zuckuss is, you know, pretty alien too, but you could really, as a kid, you could really see it with Bossk. And I remember that really well. And I loved his yellow spacesuit, a lizard man in a yellow spacesuit. I mean, that's just such an icon, you know, iconic image, a great character. And then you have the action figure, and that always stayed. He was one of my favorite action figures. So, you know, it's a mixture of nostalgia toward that character. And I also feel, because he's a difficult character to write. He's a lizard man. He's a reptile, and getting into his head, it's almost like getting into the more primitive side of the more savage, the more reptilian side of ourselves. So I think that's one of the reasons why he's been avoided sometimes, or maybe not given the meat of the story in other Star Wars literature shows or whatever. So I felt like this is a great opportunity to showcase Bossk and who he is and really get into his lizard brain and see how it works and what is he after, what does he want, and what's going to maybe change him.
Before we sort of dive into all of that stuff, because there all of that is here on these pages, and again, it is done to such great effect. One of the more interesting things about the initial part of you developing the story and working with you on it was you made an interesting choice, which was obviously the bounty hunters in the movie are all centered around that one iconic scene of the bounty hunter lineup when they're all summoned by Vader. And then they obviously all go off hoping to find Han Solo. And we know that, you know, Boba Fett's the one that does and everybody else goes off and has whatever adventure they have. But you made a specific choice to set your story before he gets summoned by Vader. And the summoning to that meeting is the catalyst towards what this story is going to lead us to. But rather than choosing the meeting to be the starting off point, what informed making that choice about where to set this particular story?
It's a really good question. And the fact is, I didn't actually think I could set it after. I thought, oh, that's where I should set the story. I didn't realize others, I guess the other writers have written their stories after for the bounty hunters.
Yeah, there's a mix, actually.
Oh, there's a mix. Interesting. Yeah. That's really interesting. So, but I think showing him, the brilliance of this is I could show who he was before he got to that point. Right. So you get the buildup, and I wanted to show Bossk why he was considered, why Darth Vader or her minions would reach out to Bossk as opposed to any other bounty hunter. So this is a good way to establish his reputation, I think, setting it before.
And of course, you start your story, basically the very first sentence of your story is Bossk relishing in the idea that this trap he has set has worked for, you know, someone that he is pursuing. But we come to find throughout the story that, in fact, yes, Bossk, the trap has worked, but it's the trap that you have walked into rather than a trap that you think someone is walking into that you've set. And the entire story gets upended because it turns out that this this bounty that Bossk is after, which is very heavily connected to Wookiees, Wookiees that Bossk has hunted before, Wookiees that he's after, and obviously his longstanding sort of I wonder how one-sided this is, this sense of like Chewbacca is his nemesis, which I kind of feel like, and the story sort of hints at it, that I think Bosk feels that's a much stronger antagonistic connection than maybe Chewbacca does. But all of that gets destroyed basically when we meet this character who is Bosk's sister. So tell me basically everything about this character, the development behind her, the intent behind making this sort of twist in the middle of your story.
So it came in the writing, right? I'd always wanted to write a story about the Trandoshans and the Wookiees. I love there to be a whole novel series, but I don't know if that's, commercial enough, but this was a great opportunity to do that. And to really get into why do the two races not like each other? And so I remember during I wrote the junior novel To the Rebellion Begins, and that started off with Kanan, Ezra, or not Ezra yet, but Kanan and Hera going into a Wookiee ship. And what happened? The Wookiees were captured by the Trandoshans. And I'm like, oh, maybe that there's something there. Maybe we can go back to a Wookiee ship. Maybe Boss goes to a Wookiee ship and he's hunting, hunting Wookiees. And then I thought, okay, well, the lead Wookiee has to be really tough, really strong. And as I was writing towards him became a her. And then I said, this is The Empire Strikes Back. You can't, and you need a twist in this story, right? The whole thing about the Empire is Empire Strikes Back is the biggest twist of all time. So I'm like, well, how can I have my little twist? All right. Well, maybe it's not a Wookiee. Maybe it's a Trandoshan. And then as I was writing, I was kind of, and rewriting, developing the Bosk's, a little bit more of his backstory. And then it occurred to me that why not swing for the fences and make the Trandoshan, the female Trandoshan, his sister, right? So, or, it's in quotes because it's still in doubt. One never knows. So that's how that developed. And I thought it worked really well because it fit into the themes of The Empire Strikes Back, which is about legacy, the surprise of identity and legacy, and who is part of your family, who is not, who is the real villain. Right. All those big questions. And I thought, well, this might work really well for this story. And I'm glad Lucasfilm and you guys like that angle, because I don't think that was in the original pitch I sent. I sent just a paragraph.
No, I don't think it was. It was just about this setup of, Bosk is going to be on a, tracking another bounty. And eventually he gets this message and he will abandon that other bounty in some form to eventually go off to this meeting. But what I really love about that decision is it found a really great way to make the story we were reading here before. We know he's going off to a bigger moment, which is you're going to hang out with Vader and Boba Fett and them. It makes the story here so much about Bosk's personal history and his character, and gives us a chance to get insights into who he is, but to still understand that we're not trying to create like absolute empathy for a character who is very clearly like not a good person. I mean, he's Trandoshan, I use the word person, but he's not a good person. He has very, not someone to really root for or aspire to be, even if he has a cool outfit and things like that. And so the story and this twist here allows us to really dive into everything about what Bosk believes, stuff about truth and identity, and what you're told versus what you believe and who tells you it. And so all of these issues of identity and truth and bias actually overtake this, what starts off as like this fun story about, well, fun is a kind of weird word maybe to use, but this story about hunting and bounties and this very classic Star Wars bounty hunter, was the idea of hitting on those themes about truth and identity. Did that develop as you sort of realized that, oh, this character at the end is going to be this Trandoshan Bosk quote unquote sister character? Or was that something that you were cognizant of even when you went to write word one of the story?
Well, the struggle of writing the story is I have a protagonist who's not a good person, right? And I can't make, I wouldn't say he's completely evil, but he's a bounty hunter and he's a really aggressive, violent character. And that I found that very difficult to write, honestly, because that's not who I am in any, you know. And I Star Wars isn't about that either. And Star Wars is about the opposite. But I think what at least I find in stories is that sometimes the best stories are defined by not just their protagonists, but their antagonists. And the antagonist of this story is almost the hero of the story, right? So she's, you flip, even though it's from Boss's perspective, you flip it on its head. And then you get a, you almost get a classic Star Wars story out of that. But it took a number of revisions, as you know, to finesse it to that point.
So as we see throughout the story and where we kind of end up, Bossk is forced into this situation where his sister asks him to make a pledge. Basically, you know, everything, a lot of what you've learned and known about Trandoshans and Wookiees over time is not true. And in fact, mostly because the only people I've ever told you were people who had perhaps either ill intents or otherwise ill-informed. And so that she basically says, you need to make this pledge to not hunt down Wookiees or not take bounties on Wookiees. There are all these other people. You can be a bounty hunter. I know you're a bounty hunter through and through. I'm not asking you to be something you're not. And he makes the pledge, and in part because it's a bit clear that that's the only way he's going to make it out of this situation without being harmed, probably. And we know that he goes to the meeting because, again, this takes place before this meeting. So what are the chances, do you think, that Bossk actually considers or holds on to the pledge that he has made beyond just using it as, yep, I'll do it just so he can get away and, you know, live to bounty hunt another day?
So I think it's, and I think Chainbreaker, who is his sister's name, I think it's all about planting a worm in the brain, those seeds of self-doubt. In somebody like Bossk. And she knows well enough that he's going to, she's not an idiot. He's going to go after Chewbacca, but there might be a point or a moment where he stops and reflects on what he's doing. And that's that. I mean, that's what Star Wars is kind of about. It's the new hope, you know, it's lighting the spark that changes people. So I have ideas for, you know, follow-up stories now with Boss. What happens to him? I want to know that, you know, I'm as a reader and a writer and a fan. So I think he goes to the meeting and he's still trying to catch Chewbacca, but somewhere on that journey, he might have another micro epiphany of what is he doing? Does he really need to be doing this? And maybe by the time we get to Return of the Jedi, where he's in Jabba's palace, maybe that's a different Bossk. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's going to take him a couple of years, but or maybe he doesn't, and his sister comes after him. Maybe that's the story. But I think I like the idea that the story ends on a question of change, and Bossk probably hasn't changed, but there's the anticipation of potential change that could happen.
And certainly, if nothing else, you've also created a really and essentially a great nemesis now for Bossk going forward, as you talked about. And you could, one could imagine any number of amazing stories where these two cross paths again, you know, on into Star Wars, which is kind of a really cool thing to be able to do, to take a character like Bossk and give them their own way that they could be the like main figure in a Star Wars story, because they have like an equal on the other side of the equation in Chainbreaker. Is one of the more satisfying and amazing things about where this story ends up, where you just want to know so much more about her and want to see them cross paths again, whether he's chosen to hold on to this pledge or whether he throws it out the window the moment he gets away and thinks that he's now gotten one over on her because she let him leave. So it's really, really excellent and really outstanding work. I want to thank you so much today for coming to hang out with us and give us some more background on the story and on Bossk, and give us more insight into this very cool new character that you've developed.
Well, thank you so much, Tom. It was a lot of fun to write. And I know, you know, one of the things about these stories is we invest writers, you know, when you get the Star Wars assignment, you invest so much time and personal energy into these things, because you know there's a huge readership out there and people who love, who fans who love this, and you just want to do your best work.
Well, I think certainly that you did, and I think that people are going to be really excited about it. So I want to thank you again. I also want to thank everyone for listening. You can read Tooth and Claw and all the other stories in From a Certain Point of View, The Empire Strikes Back, which is available right now from all of your favorite booksellers in print, ebook, and audio download. So thank you very much to everyone, and may the Force be with you.